Hi, welcome to the Tavern, the Ticket Warriors. I'm Roy Gim, a.k.a. the old tavern owner. And with me, joining me, all the tavern writers. We're talking about, of course, the Asia Cup. Joining me for this podcast, Jay Chi from Busan, Korea. We've also got Evelyn Kim from Brooklyn, Jinsuk Yang from Ohio, Tim Lee from Quebec, and Jeremy Peck from L.A., representing a couple of different parts of the Korean diaspora. But everybody, welcome. Let's get right to it. The Asia Cup, once every 4 years. We've already talked about, in a separate podcast, if you tuned into it, about some of the machinations with the roster, the 23-man roster, and some possibilities for how the starting 11 is going to look. Now let's take a look at an overview of the entire Asia Cup and some of the opponents that Korea are going to be facing.
So the Asian Cup officially starts January 9th, but Korea's first match is on January 10th, and it is against Oman. And personally, I can't claim a lot of knowledge on the West Asian teams, the Mideast teams. I did a little research on Oman, and in 2014, they have a record 5-4-6, and their most notable wins would probably be they had a couple matches against Uzbekistan, which they won, and then there are a few losses of note against Uruguay, Costa Rica, and Ireland. At the recent Gulf Cup of Nations, they did win their group, and they finished fourth overall. And player-wise, it was mainly domestic players. The only player maybe people might know is the goalkeeper and the team captain, Ali Al-Habsi, who plays for Wigan. But he used to also be a teammate of Lee Chung-yong when they were at Bolton together a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I can't claim to, again, know a whole lot about Oman, and so I'll just throw it out there. Does anyone have any thoughts about what to expect or concerns about this opening match against Oman?
Well, they're a really defensive team. They have had a lot of stability in the recent call-ups. They're managed by Paul Le Guen, who's a French manager, and he's had the Oman job since 2011. And so he's led them through World Cup qualifying, which they almost qualified for the first playoff stage. So yeah, so they're mainly composed of domestic players, except for Ali Al-Habsi, who plays for Wigan. So yeah, they're a very defensive team. So I'm concerned that we might not be able to break them down because I'm guessing against Oman, they'll just let us have the ball and they'll really just play counterattack, and we'll have to try to crack the defense. And if we win that game, which we should, but I think could be it won't be a very exciting game, probably 1-0, 2-0 maybe, because Oman are really good at shutting down opponents and their attack.
All right. Yeah, and Tim, you mentioned it. It's probably going to be a very defensive performance from Oman. And does anyone else see this as a banana skin kind of game that Korea could maybe slip up and just get held to a draw and really just kind of fall behind and under pressure early on?
It's definitely possible.
With this Korea squad and the defensive backs that we have, especially given what we saw in the run-up to the World Cup and into the World Cup itself, it's very possible, but if Korea is able to score fairly quickly, then it actually might end up being a little more lopsided. Korea has a deeper squad, so you know I expect them still to win.
And Oman doesn't tend to have a big attacking threat, so I think if you just get one goal in there, then we should be fine for the game. But a 0-0 draw is, I think, in my opinion, it's very, very possible with the lack of attacking players that we have.
Okay, so after Oman, the next game is on January 13th, and that is against Kuwait. And on paper, it looks like Kuwait is certainly the group's whipping boys. They were also at the Gulf Cup of Nations just last month or earlier this month. They were third in their group, and they were in the same group as Oman, and Oman beat them 5-0 in that game, and so. Their last 10 matches, they have a record 3-4-3, but most of those games were against smaller Middle East teams, West Asian teams. And the only one that I saw of note as it can possibly compare it for Korea is that they did play China and they lost to the Chinese team 3-1. And so on paper, this one should certainly be an easy win and for Korea. And so does anyone think we could potentially see like a pretty big, like a 4-0, 3-0 kind of win? Kind of like we saw last Asian Cup against, I think it was India?
Yeah, I mean, Kuwait's not India. I mean,
yeah.
And I don't think we're really not the, we don't have the firepower to score like 4 goals in one game, you know? 3-0, 2-0.
I hope that we could build up to that. I really do hope so, because that would give us a huge advantage. And that would help us a lot if we were able to do that. Right now I'm thinking about how South Korea hasn't scored more than 2 goals in a World Cup match. So it's almost like a threshold that the team needs to break.
They fired their manager after the Gulf Cup, even though they beat their rivals Iraq. So they have a new manager. He's from Tunisia. And I think he basically said publicly that he cannot fix the problems as if it's like with a magic wand. He said there's no quick fixes with the team. And from what it sounds like, Kuwait is not very well organized. They have maybe something's wrong with the FA. I don't want to speculate, but there's definitely some issues there with the Kuwait national team, and this should be the easiest game in the group for all teams.
Right. And so do any of you feel like Korea really needs to try and push for a big win just to get increase like their goal difference if it comes to it at the end?
I think the best thing to do is save our energy until Australia and ensure that we win there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then that transitions us quite nicely to the last game of the group stage for Korea, which is on January 17th, and that is against the host nation, Australia. And whenever you see articles about Australia or on social media, the keyword seems to be transitional. And their record last ten is pretty horrible. They're 1-2-7 in their last 10 games. Their only win was over Saudi Arabia a few months back, and they drew South Africa and the UAE, and then that of course includes losses in the World Cup, and recently in friendlies against Japan and some other teams. And so Australia, when I see and I've talked to some of the Australian writers who blog about Asian football, a lot of them seem to really be downplaying Australia's chances here. Do any of you think that this could be a much harder game than it looks on paper, given just that Australia is the host and that they are still a decent side?
For both sides, we're both in like a transitional period, right? We both suck right now, like in comparison to what we used to be. So I mean, most times I like don't think of Australia very highly, but at the same time, like I know that they're a very strong squad and that they're always tricky. Like, right? Remember the last Asian Cup, 1-1. We lost to them 2-1 very recently. We drew them in the EAFF. I think unless we really get our act together, we might draw. But I don't see us losing, because they're also in like not a very good state either.
Because I mean, if you take a glance at their call-ups, there's not, other than maybe like Tim Cahill, there's not a whole lot of like name recognition on this sheet. There's a couple players.
Jedinak's on there.
Yeah, Jedinak, but he's still maybe not proven internationally.
Yes,
he did, but I mean, when you think about maybe Australia in the past, and this is kind of what you touched on, Jinsuk. Yeah, it's just not the same, and it's a team sheet. You look at it, and it doesn't really, you're like, oh, this is this guy. You know, you have to watch out for him, or this guy can control the game, and so on. And so, could this? I guess sort of like I asked about the Oman game. Could this be one that maybe Korea could potentially kind of, or at least from a fan perspective, kind of be underestimating what Australia could bring?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Of course, they're playing at home. Isn't this the first Asia Cup that's being hosted by Australia?
Yeah, it is.
So, I mean, I think they're looking at Korea, you know, as a definite bellwether for them. If they can get a good result against Korea, I think Australia is going to really feel like they're proving themselves. So I think they're, much as Jinsuk was saying that, you know, Korea should save their energies for Australia, I think Australia's got the exact same strategy, and they're going to be coming out with all guns blaring for this particular group match.
Now, I have a question, actually. So I know that if we win the group, right, that means we will be facing Iran in the semifinals and Japan in the finals, given that we don't screw up. Now, if we don't top the group, I mean, let Australia win, we'll be facing Japan in the semis and Iran in the finals.
Oh,
my question is, which is the better situation?
That is a fascinating question. Holy moly.
There is no, it doesn't matter. I mean.
All right, Tim says it doesn't matter, but.
I think it does matter.
I don't know. I think, well, if we win the group, we have a significant time advantage. So if we win the group, mm-hmm. we play the semifinal with one extra day of rest, and we will play the final also with one extra day of rest. If we win. So in terms of rest, we have to win. We always exhaust ourselves against Iran, and for the past six Asian Cups, we faced Iran, and the winner has always gotten eliminated in the very next round.
Right. That's been the pattern.
Korea and Iran always cancel each other out. It's like a jinx. But for the first time in forever, you get that reference, we're not going to be facing Iran in the quarterfinals.
If we are runner as well.
Either way, we can't face Iran in the quarters because they're not in the group that Korea will drop.
Oh, that's right. So moving beyond the quarters, we're talking about, okay, yeah, this.
Hey. Semi. So why don't we'll talk about Iran, Japan in just a sec, because since Roy mentioned Group B, we'll just very quickly go over that because it's sort of have to. Kind of like this match should be, it's a formality. Group B contains Uzbekistan, Saudi Arabia, China, and North Korea. North Korea seems like a very long shot to make it from this group, but I think you could make a case for Uzbekistan, Saudi Arabia, and China all to make it out. And so on paper, Korea should be all three of them fairly comfortably. But I do remember Uzbekistan in World Cup qualifying wasn't an easy match for us. And I mean, I know it's the East Asian Cup, but China did hold Korea to a draw on that one too. Is it possible we could see Korea just fall apart after, like, if it's a big match against Australia and then they just relax too much against in the quarters? Could we see them, you know, going out on penalties or on a blunder, defensive blunder, set piece kind of thing? One of those group B sites.
With this team, I have no expectations anymore. So,
I think it's possible that we might. I mean, I wouldn't call it a formality. That's not. I don't think it's true with Uzbekistan, Uzbekistan especially. I think that we should be winning these games, but then again, we're going through a transition period, which makes it easier for minnows. Underdogs to be able to beat a team like Korea or Japan or something.
I would say it's best for the team not to underestimate anybody and to not settle. To not get too comfortable.
We underestimated Algeria, and look how that went for us.
Yeah,
exactly. Some people, in terms of looking back to the World Cup, some people argued that after Igano scored that first goal against Russia, the Korean team didn't keep its composure on the pitch, which is why Russia equalized like 6 minutes afterwards, you know. And I think that we could easily avoid plays like that.
So I kind of forgot to ask it, but very quickly, just going around the group, what do you think? Where do you think Korea will finish? Do you think they'll top the group, or do you think they'll come in second? Roy, what do you think? Will Korea win Group A, or will they finish second, probably to Australia?
Right, I'm pretty confident they're going to top the group. I if it weren't that Australia has had trouble in with their form, fairly new manager, I think they're still trying to find their way. So I think Australia's definitely going to try to pull their resources with Korea, but you know, I suspect that the manager is preparing himself to be runners up.
All right.
For Australia, that is.
Okay. Evelyn, do you think top of the group or runners up?
I would say runners up.
Okay. Jeremy, top in group or running up?
I think we should be able to top the group. We should be able to edge Australia by one goal, and I think the worst case scenario would be drawing with them.
All right. Jinsuk, you think the Korea will top?
Just judging on how national teams have been, I think we can't top this group.
All right. Tim, you think we'll beat Australia at the top?
I think we'll draw Australia. I think similar to 2011, I think it'll be 7 points for each. I hope we can top the group, but Australia are also playing at home. We can't count that out. And we're playing in Brisbane. There's going to be a big atmosphere there for the Socceroos. So I think we should be able to top the group, but finishing runners-up wouldn't upset me, I think. Both are very plausible scenarios. Australian media seem to be worried about the first game against Kuwait, oddly enough.
Really?
I read a few articles where they were saying how they shouldn't underestimate Kuwait, and there's some jinx that the host nation never wins their first game, and something like that. So there's some sort of concern for playing, some sort of concern against the first game against Kuwait, which kind of surprises me. But
it's good to take this with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I know, of course. It's just media saying this, but
right.
I think we should be able to top the group. But Australia seems to be a little bit they're downplaying their chances here, I think, even though they're playing at home.
We already kind of talked about the quarterfinals, Group B, and so then that brings us back to Jinsuk's question about winning a runner-up and who would you rather eventually face first. And I wonder, just kind of from listening to media and kind of the general talk, maybe when Jinsuk asked it, it feels like the general mood is that Iran is a game that Korea can win and probably should, but Japan, as painful as it is for us to admit it, is probably one that we would lose. Is that, am I off on this thought?
No, I think that's completely right.
That's reasonable, actually.
Yeah.
Unless Shilake turns out to be God, which I hope he is.
I mean, right. So then, that again, that would go up to Jinsuk's question. Would you rather win the group and potentially get to the finals and then losing the finals potentially to Japan? Or is it less painful to lose to Japan in the semifinals?
A loss to Japan, it sucks.
This is a very odd question, I know, but if you had to lose to Japan, would you rather be in the semis, or would you rather be maybe in theory a more painful final loss? If we were so close and then we lost it to them.
I'd rather be in the third place match.
The finals. For me, the finals with Japan. And the reason being is, again, it's all a matter of scouts. You know, even we lost to Japan in the semis last time.
Should have won.
I would agree with you. And, you know, as Jinsuk mentioned several podcasts ago, you know, the scouts really heavily looked to the Japanese players. And several of them went to Germany thereafter. And I think that the higher up you go, the more visibility, even in a loss, you're going to have scouts be able to take a closer, harder look.
Yeah, actually, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Now, here's a little interesting historical background. So in 1996, we faced Iran in the semifinals. In the quarterfinals, we lost 6-2. Iran was eliminated by Saudi Arabia in the next round. Mm. In 2000, we faced Iran. We went to overtime. We won 2-1, but we got eliminated by Saudi Arabia. In 2004, we lost 4-3, and then Iran got eliminated by China in overtime on penalties.
Unbelievable.
In 2007, we faced Iran in the quarterfinals again. 0-0, but we won on penalties, and then we got knocked out by Iraq on penalties.
Yeah.
And then in 2011, we all know what happened. So I don't know what's up with like us and like fate like making us meet Iran. Okay, why doesn't Japan ever meet Iran? Like, why can't that ever happen?
Yeah, that is.
Wouldn't that be so nice?
It is very unusual, and I think the theory you say is that it is seems, you know, plausible that we are exhausting so much energy against Iran.
Exactly. So if Japan faced Iran and we get Australia in the semifinals instead, like if
we
that
can't
happens,
get Australia in the semifinals. We're in there.
Yeah, I know, but theoretically.
Okay.
And we would have a whole extra day of rest. They would probably go into overtime or something. Like Iran is the is that physically hard team that you will exhaust yourself in. Like that's so nice for us.
But what? I know that a lot of Iranis or Iran supporters. Iranians, I know, because Iraqis. Anyways, I know a lot of Iranians are a bit concerned about the group, even though it looks easy from the outside. I think a lot of Iranians are a bit concerned because they're...
Oh, if they get runners up, I'm so happy.
One person said their Achilles heel was West Asian teams, and Qatar isn't that bad either. So if they finish runners up and Japan wins the group, which they really should because it's really not that hard, then...
Actually, Jordan beat Iran. I mean, Jordan beat Japan.
That's right.
And so did Iraq. In the Jordan and Iraq have beaten Japan the last 4 years.
But Iraq lost to Kuwait recently. Iraq isn't looking that great. Right. But what I'm saying is, if Japan were to win the group, and Iran would finish runners up, which I think is also a possibility, we could have Iran versus Japan in the quarterfinals, which would be great.
Oh yeah!
It would take one of our
rivals out. Yeah.
But. Yeah, which would be really nice. So,
I'm gonna be trying to bank on that possibility. That sounds very exciting to me.
But we're lucky if Group B, because it is really the weakest group in the tournament in terms of who finished top two. So we should really seize this opportunity and make it run to the semifinals at least. And then
right, exactly. We also have a huge rest advantage. We have to. This is the year that like everything worked out for us.
Except like, the fact that we really suck right now.
But the thing is, we suck right now. That's the problem. Exactly.
Is it ever a good time to suck?
I mean, but like, this is our chance. Like, honestly,
we would have 5 days. We would have 5 days rest going into the quarterfinals, whereas Japan would have like 3.
I would like to revisit this possibility of us, you know, losing to Japan. Yeah, I think on paper, you know, I think. Any betting wires would say Japan's got the edge over Korea, but it's not a given still. You know, I can talk all day long about how much deeper Japan has. They've got 7 players that they're bringing over from the Bundesliga alone. I mean,
but Japan is going through a transitional period too, aren't they? I mean,
they're over it. They're over it. They've been over.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, who's really older on their team that plays in Europe? Is it a
I actually have the Japan call-ups in front of me.
They're also aging. Like this, they're golden. Anyway.
All right. So they're European-based players. In defense, they have Sakai Gotoku, who's at Stuttgart. Nagatomo Yuto is at Inter.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Let's see. Yoshida Maya is at Southampton.
Yeah.
Midfield, they have Kagawa Shinji at Dortmund.
Yeah.
Kiyotake Hiyoshi at Hanover. And Hasabe Makoto is at Frankfurt. Forwards, they have Hondo Keisuke at AC Milan.
Yep.
Inui Takahashi is at Frankfurt. Okazaki Shinji at Mainz. And that would be it. The rest are all J-League players.
I'm most scared of Okazaki.
And Uchida just recently got injured, so he's out.
Woohoo.
Yes. Oh, I forgot their goalkeeper, Kawashima. He's at Standard Liège.
Yeah.
In Belgium.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, they do have a number of European-based players, but if you look at their roster and who they're probably going to throw out, it's a pretty standard Japanese 11 that we've seen.
Yeah, it's what we've always seen, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be Okazaki up top, Honda will be on the right, and then it's those two other attacking positions. Kagawa's in terrible form, so I'm not sure if he's a
guaranteed starter.
Right.
He probably will. And then it's been just kind of rotating who takes that third spot, whether it's Kiyotake or Inoue, or if he wants to go very different with someone else. And then he'll have Endo and probably Hasebe in midfield, and there'll be some question marks about the defense. And so, I mean, Japan won't be a surprise, and it's just kind of whether Korea can cope with it.
Yeah, if that's the case, then I don't think it's too much of a stretch for us to win if we do face Japan later
that
on.
That being said, one quick thing here. That being said, you guys know that I'm like the one who like hates on the Japanese national team the most here, but I actually think in this Asian Cup, they're probably gonna win this. It's a stretch for us to win this, like with the state we're in, and like I actually think they're past their transition. Like their golden age, like per se, has been 2011 onwards. Like,
it's
very hard for us to win this.
I have one question.
Yep.
You know, I was expecting Japan to at least be runners up in their group during the World Cup. What can you guys tell me about, like, what went wrong?
They broke down in traditional Japanese style.
I was watching that game against when they were playing the Ivory Coast. You know, they scored.
That was the greatest game of the World Cup.
And they completely fell apart. I mean, they couldn't even, you know, break down a Greek side that had nine men. You know, I think it was nine. I think two people were sent off.
Oh, that's rough.
And they couldn't break them down. I mean, do you think maybe, I mean...
It's my opinion that right now Japan basically has very much the same issues that Korea has, but they're just a little bit...
better. A little bit better.
They have a very strong midfield. They have a shaky defense and streaky forwards.
Yeah.
And so if it comes together, they're very good, but they can... Okazaki, you know, he's a good player, but he's not, you know, he's a streaky scorer. And so if he's not producing, Honda, when he's on the right, is a little iffy at times. If Kagawa's not on form, which he hasn't been, then they don't have that creative force to get them going. So
he's been benched. That's been the surprising thing, you know.
Yeah,
since moving back from Manchester
right
United. Yeah, he's been benched for Borussia Dortmund, and you know, so it's
going
to be interesting
time.
That's right. So it's being interesting, can he shed his rust in a very short amount of time? I don't know.
Well, that's the other question, is that will Aguirre trust that he can shed the rust, or will he just bench him too and go with someone else?
Mm-hmm. Because Kiyotake is in great form.
Where Japan, there'll be a top three team in this tournament, but where they could be stymied is in a couple of quick factors. One, the age of the squad. Korea is a lot younger than this Japanese squad. Two, you've got the some of these players like Kagawa out of form. But I think one factor that could be a huge factor is the manager, Aguirre, really under a cloud with this match-fixing scandal. It was theorized that he would step down only, you know, weeks before the Asia Cup. He didn't. The JFA has said they'll back him up because these are just allegations at the moment. But there's quite a bit of, I think there's quite a bit of evidence to indicate that he was part of this match-fixing scandal back when, he was in charge of what team was that? That's right. And I think there's going to be more possibly some disarray.
Honestly, I think that's overblown. I don't think it'll be
It is overblown, yeah.
Because, like, you just have to think back to 2006 with Calciopoli in Italy. That blew up right before the World Cup, and they won the whole thing. For them, it unified them. It gave them that it's us against everyone. They're all saying we're cheaters and we're thieves and everything, and they just said, you know, so
That's a good point. But then the scenario where it could impact this tournament specifically, it's a month-long tournament. Say the Guardian were to dig up some more information that was very credible, it would put him under fire in these press conference matches, and I think, you know, I think possibly could agitate things in that squad.
I don't think so. I think if it comes back, it'll be after, and I don't think Aguirre's really been there long enough to really upset anything if he left quickly.
Yeah,
that's fine. I mean,
I think honestly, to me, it's noise, but it's not enough to that it's not enough to the Japanese. Yeah.
Okay.
Too bad.
All right. I think we've talked about Japan quite a bit, and so let's move on. My last question, I don't really know if there's much in it, but is there any teams that we haven't talked about that you think could be sort of like a surprise team that does better? Not sorry, that's gonna like win it or go to the finals, but who might, you know, perform better than people think? Like, I thought maybe Tim mentioned, I think it was Qatar in Group C. They won the Gulf Cup just last month or a few weeks ago. And so a lot of people are kind of maybe underestimating them, that they could maybe do better than possible. Does anyone else have any, like, teams that they think maybe could, you know, spring something on a bigger team?
Okay, those three other teams in Group C, Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain, Qatar.
UAE.
Yeah, Qatar, Bahrain, and the UAE, yes. I think they could surprise, because at least one of them will be in the knockout stages. And UAE, they have their golden generation right now. Qatar, they won the Gulf Cup, and they had a good string of results. And Bahrain, they beat Saudi Arabia quite convincingly 4-1. So I think those three teams could make some noise. And maybe, who knows, they can pull off an upset in the quarterfinals, maybe against Japan, which would be nice. But
anyone else, maybe a surprise team or potential upset kind of team?
I'll just add that I'm surprised that Palestine made it, but I don't know that they go far into the tournament, but I'm keeping an eye on them. And
Palestine made it through this Challenge Cup tournament, and they won the finals against the Philippines. So they really made it to the back door.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be hard for Japan to deal with them. It's cool that they're here. Just,
yeah.
I'm actually wondering why North Korea did so poorly in the Asian Cup in 2011 and why this team isn't expected to go to the knockout rounds if the KMT face them in the Asian Games in September. Because I'm just thinking about how the Asian Cup and the Asian Games, they're two different tournaments, right? But they both involve Asian countries, like teams from Asian countries playing against each other. The only difference that I'm thinking of right now is that there was a U23 team that was playing in the Asian Games.
Yes.
But that's not the case in the Asian Cup. Would you say that's the reason why the results are so different?
Oh, yeah, yeah. U23 is huge. It's a big difference from the senior level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've had little mini debates about that. And yeah, I agree with Jinsuk. Yeah, I think that there is a significant difference between the U23 level and the senior level.
Yeah, that makes sense as you're articulating it now. I think the reason that I didn't see it like that before is that the players on the U23 team who were playing in the Asian Games in September, a number of them, like Chang Yeon-soo, for example, is here and is playing for the Asian Cup squad. So yeah. I'm just thinking about how there's some spillovers, you know?
Oh, the London Olympics was our first team.
I think the reason why you wouldn't say North Korea is going to make the knockout stages just like that is because we know literally nothing about North Korea, or like there's no information on their club, on the players in their clubs and their form, and you know, and when we hear reports that Chung Tae-se won't be called up to the national team, which surprised me. It didn't surprise Jay for some reason, but it didn't surprise me. It surprised me, seeing how he's their best striker who's available for selection. So, and plus they also had to change their manager for this tournament because, what's his name? I think, I could be wrong here, but I think the Asian Games manager for North Korea is the same as the national team manager, and he got a touchline ban for yelling profanities at the referee in the Asian Games finals.
Yeah,
so then they had to change managers, for the Asian Cup, mm-hmm. which could be like a different system. I don't know. But we know nothing about North Korea, or not much about North Korea. So I think that would be... It's hard to say. It's hard to say they're going to go and win the whole thing, or they're going to make the knockout stage, because we have no idea. But I think they should be... I don't think they're going to do well. But
One of their players was banned as well, along with the coach. But I see what you mean. Yeah.
Well, I think we're kind of running to the end of the Asian Cup preview talk. But I just wanted to go through the last few hypothetical situations. And so I wonder, what does it mean if Korea did not make it out of the group stage? They get held to draws maybe by Oman and Australia, and Oman beats whatever. It's a long shot, but if it happened, do you see it there being like a significant, you know, repercussion to that kind of thing? No, the KFA said Stalecki's safe regardless of the Asian Cup, but could that kind of major thing potentially get his sacked or bring in this like massive backlash against them?
It shouldn't. Maybe it will, but it definitely shouldn't. We could easily draw a man. Like, they could really be a defensive team. We can't break them down, and suddenly we find ourselves deprived of points, and then we fail against Australia, and there we are, we're out of tournament. But it shouldn't be. Stalecki has had no time to build his team. He just finished looking at all the players basically in the last round of friendlies. How I don't know how we can possibly expect him to win the tournament in such little time with the national team.
I think a general expectation that South Korea will top the group is generally pretty accurate. So I don't think that anything drastic or anything negatively drastic will happen. And if it did, I don't think that it would be worth sacking Stalecki over it. Yeah, I don't think the KFA would act that way, especially when you consider the fact that they gave a vote of trust to Hong Myung-bo right before he resigned after the World Cup.
Also, Hong-bo is gone, so...
I know that he's gone, but I'm saying that because the KFA gave him a vote of trust despite a really disappointing World Cup campaign, that should show you that Stalecki is probably not going to be sacked either after if disappointments happen in the Asian Cup.
It's the media backlash that concerns me. It's the netizens going crazy and the media going freaking out.
I think that the Korean fans are very, very demanding of the KMT overall.
That's true.
That's what I mean by this.
Yeah, well, basically, I guess the question is, if there's a low expectation performance, whether that means out of the group stage or, you know, out of the quarterfinals, does the KFA have the backbone to withstand the public criticism that will come? Because, it's logical to say that, yes, you know, Stalecki's had no time, it's very soon, but we also did just go through and say that this is one they should be, a group they should be winning, the Group B opponents are teams that they should beat quite fairly, not easily, but they should beat them comfortably. And so there would be a backlash, and do you think the KFA has the spine to deal with it?
I suspect that the KFA probably would withstand it, but I think it's going to be a major... there's no doubt there's going to be a huge backlash. You know what it'll come down to is if it was something like if we lost to Oman 3-0, if it were fantastically bad results. It's not just losing the group stage or the quarterfinal stage. It's that how we exit. That to me would be, I would interpret that as something far more consequential than our performance in the World Cup group stage back in Brazil. We'll see.
Okay. And so I guess the flip side of that would be if Korea actually managed to win it, does that change or alter anything about how you view the state of the Korean national team?
Wouldn't it mean the Asian Cup overall, right?
Yeah, if they win the whole thing, does that change your view on the state of the Korean national team? Is it better than, mean we're better than we are, than we think we are? Or is it a fluke and, you know, everyone had question marks and, you know, so on?
I wouldn't go so far as to say that our perception of the team's strength would completely change. I would just say that a win at the Asian Cup tournament would serve as one stepping stone towards becoming a more stronger team on the pitch, because we need to keep in mind that we are playing against teams in Asia, you know, and it's a different ball game than, say, a tournament like the World Cup, where you're playing against teams from other continents. So I think a win would definitely contribute to the players' development as a team and individually. But in terms of, you know, automatically saying that we're a really, really strong team, I think that would be a bit far-fetched.
I would say that it would be a disservice to the Korean football to say that Korea is on top and we're of Asia and we're in good shape. I mean, no way in hell. Anybody who's really examined the not only the KFA but the Korean national team would say that Taeguk Warriors are in good shape. Our forward situation is abysmal. There's so much structurally that's wrong. A lot of our podcasts in the past has delved into some of the overall structural problems. To what degree any of these factors outweigh the other, I mean, that's a matter of debate, but definitely, you know, the military conscription issue, the structure with the university players, the K-League, how young players, 17, 18, aren't getting professional playing time, they have to wait their turn. Attendance going to the K-League games, that's a factor too. So I think, you know, hopefully we can, you know, chalk that up as you know, a good mark for the short term, with being able to get the European scouts to take a look at another hard look at some of the Korean domestic players. But, you know, it would be an absolute step, two steps, three steps backwards if Korea were to, you know, rest on their laurels and be happy with this result.
Yeah. My opinion on this is actually that, like, we have decent talent right now. We just suck because of many other reasons that I honestly don't think is down to, like, individual talent per se. So if we do win, what we can get out of it is that, number one, it's freaking awesome. We get to go to the Confederations Cup. We get to, like, finally, like, redeem ourselves and, like,
take
back that title that we always had, that we can step on Japan. We'll get that back. But anyway, but I think the major taking home point is that we're actually starting to, like, figure out, like, how to play. Basically, it just means that we're going the right direction. Doesn't mean that we're an awesome team or anything, but, like, you know, you guys know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I think that pretty much brings us to the end of our preview. And so all that's left to do is put your name on the line out there and make your prediction for how Korea will do. So do we have a volunteer who wants to go first? We like my class. Volunteers, or I can pick you.
You can pick.
I'll go first.
All right, Evelyn, will sacrifice herself. Evelyn, how will Korea do at the Asian Cup?
I think we have a pretty good chance of reaching the finals. I think we'll bake on. I think we can bake on that.
All right. So, first or second?
Uh-huh. I am not gonna say. I'm just going to say that we're going to go pretty far in the tournament.
Right.
In terms of whether we're going to place first or second, that I'm not sure about that.
All right. Cheater. Technically, it's cheating, but since you volunteered, I'll let you get away with it.
Yes.
Let's see. Since we are Koreans, I guess we should do the age thing. So we'll go youngest. We'll go youngest first.
Oh, youngest first. Okay, all right.
All right, okay. Yeah. That's actually the exact opposite of what I thought the Korean thing meant.
We'll honor the elders by making.
I see. All right, so then, all right. I think we'll finish third. Third. We're gonna lose in the semifinals to. Is Iran a possibility? I think
yes.
So.
Yeah. If we finished runners up, it would be Iran. If we won, it would be Iran.
Okay, I think we'll win our group. I hope we win our group. I think we lose in the semifinals to Iran because they always seem to beat us recently. And then we beat, I don't know, like an Australia or Japan in the third place game. So another disappointing World Cup, Asian Cup, but in light of what's happened recently to the Korean national team, not a terrible result, a pretty good one.
I'm not sure who's younger between Jin-Suk and Jeremy. I think it's Jin-Suk.
Oh, huh? We're the same age, yeah.
You're the same age?
I think we'll get second. Lose at the hands of Japan in the finals.
Alright.
That's Jeremy. Coming from me, guys. That's coming from me.
Yeah.
Must be painful. Alright, Jeremy, what do you think?
I think we'll lose to Japan in the final. We'll lose 2-0.
What score prediction?
With that being said, how important is the Asian Cup to the general public in Korea? Is it something that?
No, not important. You know,
it's not huge.
Not
World Cup is really the only thing that matters.
Okay.
But for Korean, like us, like actual fans, it is.
It's very important for the fans. It's important for the general public. It's kind of just another thing that happens in the news.
Yeah.
And I almost say that the Asia Gold, Asia Games. Is slightly more important because of the military exemption part.
Yeah, military exemption.
Well, in terms of like media attention, yeah, the Asian Games and the Olympics get more because they are bigger events.
Why isn't military exemption offered to the players?
It's a fairness thing because
yeah.
The Olympics and the Asian Games, it can be offered to any athlete that wins.
Oh, yeah.
It's not specific
to
the sport.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I don't think like the speed skaters get an Olympic a military exemption if they win like the speed skating World Cup events or if a golfer wins or a PGA tournament kind of thing. So I think it's just a fairness thing.
It also helped that the Asian Games were in Incheon in Korea, so naturally the public is going to pay more attention to that.
Yeah, I mean that certainly helped. All right, that leaves just
me and you.
Tavern owner. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm moderator, so I get to go last.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think now you're cheating, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm moderating, so I get to cheat.
Am I the Sunbae?
Sunbae, yeah.
Yes, you are. You're the Sunbae, and you're the Hangneep.
All right, as tavern owner, I'm going to command you to go first.
Oh, boy.
All right, I have to be a good Korean now. All right. I think I agree with Tim, I think it was, and I think it'll be a third place finish again.
Okay.
I think if we see Japan in the semis, I think we'd lose it. Iran's a tough one to call, but just since Kirosh has taken over, we can't get over them for whatever reason. So I think we'd just lose that one out. I think they would just grind us out. It would be one of those frustrating games where Korea has all the possession, but Iran just scores like on their one chance, and we would just go crazy.
I hope that if it turns out to, it does not turn out to be a grinding one, because then Iran can beat Japan in the final. Anyway.
Hmm. Yeah. So anyway, I think third place, but.
Yeah. I'm gonna go on a limb. And first of all, I have to tell you. I've never ever used the elder power that I have as a Korean, but temporarily I can say that was pretty freaking awesome. I'm gonna go on a limb and I'm gonna say that Korea is going to win it all. I'm going on a limb because I'm a little shaky on that. This isn't our greatest squad that we can throw out there. I think 2011 was a little stronger. But it's not the worst squad we put out there. There is a bit of quality to it. Our starting 11 is going to have some holes in it. But there are some amazing strength. You know, Son Heung-min is come into form. Lee Chung-young has come into form at a very good time. Some of the individual players, Ki Sung-young, we mentioned before. I think some of those players hopefully can bring their quality and help bring the team chemistry along for the ride. And you look at the fact that Korea won the first two Asia Cups, 1956, 1960, and been close but hasn't won the tournament since then. I think statistically we're due for a win. So I'm going to call it Korea winning the whole thing.
It'd be pretty awesome to break like two winless streaks in the space of a couple months with the Asian Games and now the Asian Cup.
But yeah, indeed.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen, but let's hope so.
So that was our predictions. Of course, listeners, readers, you can share your predictions in the comments below, and you can tell us why we are right or wrong. The tournament will be on, if you're in the U.S., on One World Sports, I believe. We'll broadcast it. You'll have to stay up late or wake up early, I believe, because of the time difference. For those in Korea, it'll be jointly broadcast by SBS and NBC, and so you can see it there. If you don't get one of the channels, you can figure out, I'm sure we stream somewhere, or you can figure out some clever technological thing to find a quote-unquote legitimate stream from SBS or NBC or somewhere else. And I think that will end our Asian Cup preview. And so I suppose since it is the Tavern, it is a last call time. And Roy, since you are Sunbae / Youngmin, you can select who goes first.
Let's
turn
go.
The power to you.
Let's go, Tim.
I'm not a big fan of this Korean system. I have to always go first.
Last call.
Last call. All right.
Anything you want to say?
I hope we win. I don't think we are. I don't know. I don't think we will. And you can follow me on Twitter at CoreFan12.
All right. Evelyn.
Yes. I'm very much looking forward to the Asian Cup. It is a tournament worth watching based on what I've read. And I hope you all enjoy it and watch with expectancy, especially for the Korean team.
Right on. Jeremy.
Well, I hope we win it. I think the real thing that we'll get out of this Asian Cup, the most important thing is, the scouts that'll be watching if we get to the final. I think it'd be really neat to see Korea play at the Confederations Cup. The only time Korea's played at the Confederations Cup was 2001, was
yeah,
it? That was
right.
The only time, right?
Because
you're a host. So, I think it'd be pretty neat to see them, in Russia. With that being said, I hope they do well. Tam and go fighting. Let's go.
Here, here.
Oh, yeah.
Jinsuk.
I've always been a very, very hardcore fan. I've always hated on the other teams and all that. But I've learned to temper my expectations because time and time again, my expectations have been way too high. And this team is nothing but disappointments for the last couple of years. So, yeah, as everyone said, I really goddamn hope we win it, but we kind of suck right now, so whatever.
Aim low.
Words of wisdom. All right, I'm going to switch things up from how we did it with the predicting the Asia Cup first place winning. I'm going to go next with the last call. 2014 was such a mixed bag. I'm just going to say, even though I've looked already beyond the World Cup, I'm so psyched about how we were able to win Asia gold and the military exemption for our boys. I'm cautiously optimistic about the Asia Cup, and I'm just looking forward to some surprises because Korea is a force to reckon with in Asia. So we'll see how that plays out. Daehan Minguk and Sehebok Mani Padiseo.
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
I broadly just echo what everyone else has said. I'm looking forward to the tournament. I don't have high expectations either, but hopefully it'll be fun. And international football gets a little bit of hate, it feels like, for people always want club. But I always love the international game. So I'm looking forward to the Asian Cup, win, lose, or whatever happens to Korea.
Might I add, the start times are absolutely brutal here, so...
Yeah.
4 a.m.
Yeah. Yes, for once it benefits me in Korea.
Yeah, I know.
It's a nice 4 p.m., 6 p.m. kickoff in Korea. Not the 4 a.m. that I had to deal with at the World Cup.
Well, it's getting late over here, so we're going to close the tavern for tonight. We want to thank you so much for listening to our Asia Cup preview. But of course, please come back to the Tavern, the Taekook Warriors, www.taekookwarriors.com, for all the latest in Korean football happenings. The Asia Cup is only the start to what should be an excellent and very interesting 2015 for the Korean national team. Both men's and women's programs. The Women's World Cup is happening this summer up in Canada, and Korea is in it, hopefully to win it. So yeah, lots to look forward to in 2015. But like I said, we've got to close up the tavern. So on behalf of everybody here at the Tavern, the Taekook Warriors, I hope you have a good night. Chao gayo and doboja.